Yesterday we have seen that Paul was passionate towards people, and that's the reason why he always wanted to share gospel with others. It was not because he was commanded, or it's not just because he is commissioned. Of course, he was commissioned to preach gospel, but he was not just looking at his commissioning. He says, if I do it on my own, then certainly I have a reward. See, woe unto me if I do not preach gospel. What do he say? Don't think that he is fearing if he is not sharing gospel, then certainly when he reaches eternity, God is going to punish him. It is not his problem. He's not thinking about punishment, because there was no need for that, because he was sharing gospel because he was loving people. When he started loving people, he was a man of love. He was a man of love. I sometimes wonder, and I don't think I can never become like Paul in loving people. Because I don't have time to explain all those things, but I say, once, always, of course, he was called as an apostle to the Gentiles, you know that, right? Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, but at the same time, always he had a passion for the people of Israel, okay? He had a passion for the people of Israel, and always he wanted to preach gospel to the Israelites or the Jewish people. And that's the reason why wherever he went, always he was trying to enter into the synagogue and start preaching about Jesus. And it was possible in those days. You know why? Because in those days they had a great expectation for the coming Messiah. So wherever you go in those days, in the Jewish religion, in the Jewish synagogue, if you say that you have something to say about the Messiah, certainly they will give you a chance to preach. So Paul was making use of all those possibilities, because wherever he goes, he's a stranger, of course, but when he is in the synagogue, after the meeting, he says, I have something to say about the Messiah. So what happens? Okay, if you have something to say about the Messiah, come on, you're free. So then he starts speaking about Jesus, and he's sharing gospel with the people. Somehow he wanted to see that he is winning some Jewish people. That was his passion, his concern. Of course, he was called as an apostle to the Gentiles, right? Peter was an apostle to the Jewish people, and Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. And he was not even commissioned, of course. He was commissioned to preach to the Gentiles, but his love towards the Israelites that made him share gospel somehow, and somehow he wanted to see that the Jewish people are coming to the Lord. And that's the reason why I say that he was a man of passions, and he loved people. When you love somebody and you love something, if you love something, it's a higher grade, it is not a lower grade. Passion is something beyond or something above the level of love. It is beyond. Because love, it's okay. We love people. But when you have a passion, you are sold out. You remember the word that I use. You are sold out, right? So when you're sold out, what happens? You are ready to pay anything for that. Even your life. See, many of the evangelists, many of the missionaries, they are ready to pay their life. They are ready to pay a cost, even their life. But Paul was somebody more than that. And that's the reason why I say, I would to be like him in this matter. But I know that even now, I'm not like that. Why I say that? His love was more than the love of any of the missionaries that I have seen. In Romans chapter 9, verse 1 onwards, he says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ, I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen by race. He says about Israelites, because the Israelites were his kinsmen by race. Because he also was an Israelite, right? He also was a Jew. He was an Israelite. So he was loving those people. And always he was praying for them. And even when you read Romans, in fact, you know, the book of Romans is not a book that is written for the Jewish people, but certainly it was written basically for the Gentile people. But still he was sharing, you know, or telling them that I have a great passion for my own people. And I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Why he is swearing? In fact, you know, he's swearing. He's not just saying that I have great sorrow, but he swears. Okay? He says, oh, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears witness. You know, a lot of things he is saying. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. Why he should say all these things? Do you think that the church members in Rome, they are considering Paul as a person who is always lying? Is it? Is it? No. Because they know that Paul will never tell a lie. Then why he says, I'm not lying, my friends. What all things I'm saying, my conscience bear witness in the Holy Spirit. Why he is saying, or why he is trying to make them, convince them about his truthfulness? It is because what he says is very difficult to believe. Suppose I'm saying, my friends, I'm not lying, I'm speaking truth from my heart, and even the Holy Spirit bears witness in my heart that I'm speaking truth, my friends. Believe me, my friends, after this meeting, I'm going back home. Should I say like that? You get me, my friends? There's no need, because that's quite natural. There's nothing to disbelieve me, or you know, nothing to, you know, think that I'm lying, because you know, after this meeting I'm going home. That's all. You get me? But when I say something very hard to believe, maybe I'll say, believe me, I'm telling the truth. So what Paul says is something unbelievable. Why? You know what he says? He says, my passion is towards my own people, my kinsmen. My kinsmen. And once I made a bargain with God, a bargain. What was it? I told God, Lord, my desire is that all the Israelites should come to you and should reach heaven. That's my desire. What shall I pay for it? Even sometimes I make this kind of bargain, but not what Paul said. Maybe sometimes I say, maximum, Lord, if I need to die, I'm ready. But I want to see that you are saving my people. That much I have said. That itself is not always. Sometimes when I am more passionate, I will say, Lord, I am ready to die for my people. But Paul says much more than that. You know what it is? He said, Lord, this is my bargain. If you save all the Israelites, I am ready to go to hell. You get me? Once I made a bargain that I will be accursed, that's what is written here, that for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen by race. You understand, my friends? Paul says, if you take all the people of Israel into heaven, if you are saving all those people, I am ready to go to hell and spend my eternity without Christ. I will never say that. I will never say that. This is passion. This is passion. When you're passionate, you are ready to sacrifice anything. When you're passionate, you are ready to give up anything. When you're passionate, you are ready to give up your money, your time, your influence, your health, your life. Forget about this thing. This is something big. But at least you think about giving up things what you think you have give it up. If you're ready for a sacrifice, if you're not ready for a sacrifice, you are not a person with a passion. This was the passion of Paul. This is where we need to know what kind of sacrifice we need to do in sharing gospel with others. That's the reason why he says, "Woe unto me if I do not preach gospel." Because if I do not preach gospel, you know what happens? That burns my heart, my mind, my body. I cannot live without, I cannot breathe without sharing gospel. That's my passion. Do we have this kind of passion? That's what we need to know in our life. And he says, we were reading the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 onwards. We said, "For if I preach gospel that I give, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe unto me if I do not preach gospel, for if I do this on my own will, I have a reward." I told you yesterday, it doesn't say it's about a reward in heaven. It says that if I do it on my own will, or if I'm doing it without a force from outside, if I'm doing it out of love, I am relaxed. That's all. That is the word reward means here. It is not that, you know, when you preach gospel, you are going to get a big reward in heaven at all. Maybe you will get it. But Paul was not preaching gospel just expecting a reward in heaven. Okay? He says, when I preach gospel, I have a reward. What is the reward? I can breathe. That's my... I can relax. And then what we see there, "For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. Even if it is not a striving force from within," of course, you are entrusted with the gospel and that is your duty. You are not sharing gospel because it is your duty. But even otherwise, you need to do it as if it is a duty, because God has entrusted it upon you. And I have a stewardship. That's what we see there. It's a commandment. It's a stewardship. It's a commandment. Of course, it's a commandment. God has commanded us to be a witness of Him. And I think that is the biggest commandment, and that is the only commandment He was asking us to do when He was ascending to heaven. Right? You shall be my witnesses. And even in Matthew chapter 28, we see that God is asking us to preach gospel to all the nations. That's the commandment He was giving us even at the time of His ascension. Okay? So whenever somebody is saying something when he is departing, that has got more value than all the other things he said when he was with us. Of course, everything is valuable, but we need to give more attention to the things that, suppose I'm leaving my home for some time, then I'm calling my people, my wife, my children sometimes, and say, "Do this, do this, do this, and make sure that this is happening." When I go or when I depart, what all things I say has something more importance than what I was saying all the things when I was with them. Okay? So this is His commandment, that we need to preach gospel to all the nations, to all the people. Okay? That is the commandment. So we have a commandment, and also it is a stewardship. Why? It is a stewardship. It is quite righteous. It is quite needed. Because that is the only thing that we can do to the Lord. Nothing else we can do to the Lord. The only thing that we can do to the Lord is bearing His witness and sharing His love with people around us. That is natural. That's the reason why Paul says, "I have nothing to boast about it." What Jesus did for us, if you see this, then certainly it is a stewardship. There is no boasting. We cannot boast that I am sharing gospel. And that's the reason why yesterday I said that I'm so sad to see that missionaries are always projecting all the things that they say and the sacrifices they make in their mission fields. You remember what I said in the last day? Siddhistad said. Siddhistad was one of the men who has given his life, and when we consider his commitment, I don't think any of these modern missionaries are suffering like him. But still he said, when I look at the cross, anything and everything I do for him is not a sacrifice at all. When I look at the cross, anything and everything I do for him is not a sacrifice at all. So this is a stewardship. Because God has done all these things for me. All these things for me. Then how can I live in this world without sharing gospel or the love of Jesus to other people? So we need a passion, of course. And when we are passionate, we are ready to sacrifice. If you are passionate, you are ready to give yourself. If you are passionate, that's where we need to know whether ours is just a desire or a passion. Many people have a desire to share gospel with others. It's good. That's only a beginning. But what is needed is a passion. When you have a passion, you are sold out. And you are ready to suffer anything. And you will never speak about the sufferings. Many people are always talking about their sufferings. We have a tendency to tell all, or you know, describe all our troubles and trials and all our problems in our life. The sufferings. Oswald Chambers once said, if anybody describes his suffering, that shows that he has not yet suffered. Because many times, you know, we are saying, you're suffering, I'm suffering, I'm suffering. When you look at those people, you'll know that they are just babbling all small things, and they are doing a lot of, it's in fact, you know, they do not know what Jesus did for them. They do not know. When we look at the cross, then certainly we will understand that we are nobody, and all the things that we do is nothing. Hallelujah. So when we have a passion, we are crushed by the love towards others. We are crushed by the love towards others. We are broken. We are broken means we cannot do anything else. Then, you know, as I told in the first session, if you have a vision, if that becomes a passion, then you dream your vision when you go to bed, and when you wake up, you are doing something to make that accomplished. When you have a real vision, or when you are passionate, then you dream your vision all the time. When you go to bed, in your dreams you are seeing that you are accomplishing that vision. And when you are awake, you are always working for that, to accomplish it. And only when you love people, the love towards people, love for the perishing soul. Maybe you have heard about a lot of missionaries who gave their life. Gave their life means, you know, it is not just dying, of course. That's something. But even when they are not dying, or, you know, the passion, the love, you're crushed by love. I'm so sad to say that in these days, you know, intercessory prayer and all these things, it also has become a program. I'm so sorry to say that. It also has become a program. And in many places we have a map of India, or pray for India. Everywhere we'll have something like pray for India. It's good. It's good that we are writing like that, and that gives or some kind of, you know, an encouragement for praying for India. I accept it. But, you know, don't think that every morning you just touch India, the map of India, and pray, Lord, I pray for India. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That is not passion. It's not passion. Many times in the churches, I know, we have a time for intercession. Intercession means that is what we say. And we say, maybe after we read the Psalms, and after the exhortation, pastor says, now it is time for praying for, it is time for intercessory prayer. So he says, let's pray for India. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for Africa. Let's pray for all those who are away from us, who are working in our foreign land, and all those who are doing their job in foreign land, and also those who are missionaries. And after some time, he says, okay, this uncle will be praying for these things. And uncle was hearing it for the first time, so because, you know, he was thinking something else. So he said, Lord, I'm praying for all the things that pastor mentioned here, sir. And we think God is going to do miracles just because we prayed like that. No, my friends. Even prayer needs commitment. Prayer is our heart cry. If it doesn't come from your heart, you know why we have intercessory prayer in Sunday service? Because we think that is one of the scheduled program in our church service. Because we have three prayers first, then four songs, and the final song will be very fast song, and then we have another prayer, and then we have Psalms reading, and then our intercessory prayer. This is a program. This is a program. So it doesn't, we are not pouring out our heart. We need to pour out our heart, because prayer is the heart cry. It is my heart cry. It's not because I am forced to pray. Sometimes people say, I have decided to pray for 1 hour. So brother, if there is any prayer request, you send me, okay? Because many times when I think I need to pray for 1 hour, I just look at the watch and I start praying. And sometimes I think it is 2 hours, but when I open my eyes, I see that it's only 5 minutes. So I need more prayer requests. Right? What's the problem? Because we are not pouring our heart before God. If you want to pray meaningfully, you need to love the people. If you want to pray for West Bengal, you need to love the people. You need to love the people. Many times, even missionaries are not loving the people. I remember once I was with Louis Uncle in a place in northern part of India. And the missionaries who were working in that place, they were always telling silly things about the natives. Oh, these people, they are not good people. They are this kind of people. Oh, I'm fed up with these people. And Louis Woody Uncle said, stop it. If you don't love them, how can you share gospel with them? If you want to be missionaries here, first start loving people. Maybe he is not remembering it because it is many years back. But I remember that. I remember it. Sometimes some of the words that God's people speak, that doesn't go out from our heart. It's there. If you do not love the people, I'm in Africa. If I do not love the African people, I cannot share gospel with them. Once, you know, in Operation Mobilization, one girl came from Switzerland, and she said she wanted to marry an Indian man, somebody. She wanted to get married to an Indian man. I was asking, do you love India? No, I'm not loving India. Then, but I still want to get married with an Indian man. I said, you cannot do that. If you do not love India, then go back. That's the best way. She married an Indian and went back to Switzerland. She married an Indian and went back to Switzerland, and they never came back, I think. And what's the use of getting married to an Indian man? Or what is the commitment? So that's why I say, if you do not love a land, if you go to Orissa or Srinagar, love that place. Love the people there. If you are praying for Afghanistan, first of all, you need to love the people of Afghanistan. And then you will say, give me Afghanistan, Lord, else I die. Give me Srinagar, Lord. If you need Srinagar, it doesn't matter. I believe that even if you do not go to Sri Lanka or Srinagar, still, when you start praying for a country, start loving that country. You need love. Because love is the thing that we lack everywhere, and it is the thing that we need everywhere. Love. Give me Scotland, or else I die. And when you share gospel with one person, even if it is one person, you need to love that person. You know the story of Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson, maybe. I told about David Wilkerson and about one of his message, Anguish, Baptism of Anguish. That's in the website, you know. Maybe 2,000 messages of David Wilkerson is in website. He started his ministry as a pastor in Pennsylvania, and then God was asking him to go to New York and start a ministry among the dropouts and people who are addicted to drugs and gangs, little people, gangs, who are doing all kind of troubles in the society. And once he wanted to, share gospel with a person who was a gang leader, the most notorious guy in Manhattan Street. His name was Nikki Cruz. And the first time, he was seeing Nikki Cruz, and he was trying to give and shake hands with him, to make a relation with him. And you know what Nikki Cruz did? He was just slapping David Wilkerson. He wanted to shake hands. He was showing his hands to Nikki Cruz, David Wilkerson, and this guy was just slapping at the cheek. David was just looking at him and said, "Nikki, still I love you." And Nikki was just wondering why this man is saying, when I was beating him, when I was slapping him, why he is saying, "I love you." And David went back, and after some time again, he saw Nikki Cruz. And he was trying to shake hands with him. Nikki looked at him and spat at his face. David was looking at his face and said, "Nikki, still I love you." And the third time when he was seeing Nikki Cruz, he wanted to shake hands with him, but Nikki took his knife, it was a switchblade, and put it in his collar and said, "Preacher, I'm gonna cut you into 1,000 pieces." He's a guy who is not afraid to do that. David said, "Nikki, I know you can do that. But I want to tell you one thing. Even if you cut me into 1,000 pieces, still each piece will love you. Because Jesus loves you. Even if you cut me into 1,000 pieces, each piece will still love you. Because Jesus loves you." This is love. This is love. Nikki Cruz later accepted Jesus, and he said, "I know what to do with a man who is there to fight against me. I know what to do with a man who is coming with a gun. I know what to do with a man who is coming with a switchblade or a sword. But I did not know what to do when a man was coming with, saying, looking at my face and say, 'I love you, I love you.'" This is love. If you're passionate, you will love people. And you need to give a lot of commitment. There's a lot of commitment is needed. The passage that we were reading, we know that Paul says, if you're doing ministry, maybe. It's not maybe. Certainly God will provide what you need, because it is God's promise. I'm not against people receiving money when they are doing a ministry and all. But if they do ministry for money, it is something different. I hope you understand what I say. In Didache, the second century book, which says about the teachings of apostles, you know, there is a statement: how can you know or differentiate the false prophets? Discern the false prophets. It was an article, and it is said, it is the teachings of the apostles. It was published in second century AD. And in a passage it is said that if a minister If a Christian minister is ministering to you, and if he asks money after his ministry, he is a false prophet. The apostles' teaching doesn't say that a man who preaches gospel should not receive money, but it says that if a person after the ministry, if he is asking for money, he is a false prophet. You know why? Because he was not ministering out of love. If you are not doing anything, if you are not forced, if you are not enforced with love, if you are not doing ministry because of the heart's love, you are a false prophet. That's the reason why I said, even in this passage, Paul says, it's quite natural that if you are a minister, if you are ministering for the Lord, you can receive. Because even in the Old Testament, it is said that what? Those who are ministering in the temple should live out of the revenue they receive from the temple. There's no problem. But Paul says, I was not using it. That is the commitment I had. I was never looking for money, because I had only one thing in my mind. What? Somehow. That is the commitment. That is the commitment. Why he was doing it? Verse 19, it says, for though I am free of all men, I have made myself to a slave to all, that I might win the more. That's the passion. That's the passion. That I might win more. So if you are a true person with a passion, this is always in your mind. How can I win more? Paul says, this was in my mind. Why? I was a free man, but I was obeying all the Jewish laws. Why? Because I wanted to see that I'm winning more Jewish people. That's why he said, to the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those who under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being without law towards God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This was in the mind of Paul. I might save some by all means. So he was ready to become like a Jew. Even though he was not under the law, he was living as if he is under the law, because somehow he wanted to win more Jewish people. When he goes out, he was living as if he is a man outside the law, even though he was bound by the law of Christ. Somehow, he had only one thing in his mind, that I might win more. Either they are weak. If they are weak people, I was trying to become like the weak people. If they are strong people, I was trying to become like the strong people. If they were Jewish people, I was trying to become a Jew for them. So wherever we go, whichever situation we are, to which kind of people we are dealing with, we need to become like him, identify with them. For what? Just to see that we are winning more people. I will finish my message by saying it's a simple story. You know, in Europe, in the Aegean seashore, there is a special thing that every time the waves are coming to the shore, you know what happens? Many times, small fish with the wave, with the surf, you know, it is coming to the bank, to the seashore. And while the water is going back to the sea, sometimes the fish may not be able to reach back the sea. And you know that if the fish, the small fishes are there, and if it is not able to go back to the sea, it's going to die. So one small boy was seeing this, and he was standing there under the sun, and whenever a wave is coming, when the wave is not taking back the fish, he was just taking it in his hand and he was throwing it back to the sea. So one man was seeing it and he was just laughing at this boy. "Hey, what are you doing?" The boy said, "You know, I'm trying to save these small fishes." "Hey, my little boy, this was happening from the very beginning of the earth, right? And millions of fish, it was coming to the sea, coming to the bank, the seashore, and many times it failed to go back to the sea. And all those fishes were dying. All those fishes were dying. Do you think that you can save all those fishes?" And this boy said, "Sir, I know that I cannot save all the fishes, but I can save some. I cannot save all the fishes, but I can save some." My dear friends, I do not dream, and I know that I cannot save more than 1 billion people of India. No one can. They are heading towards nowhere. They are in the hit list of Satan. I know that. 1 billion people in India. More than 1 billion people, 130 crore people in India. I know I cannot save all the people. Do you think that anyone can do that? Anyone can do that? Do you think that anyone can do that? No. But you can save some. Maybe it is 5 people, 10 people, 2 people, 1 people, but you are saving the life. This is the motivating factor behind our evangelization, our witnessing. When I go to Africa, it is a big continent. I'm not able to save all the Africans, but I can save some. When you go to the campus, you have 3,000, 2,000, 3,000 students studying in your campus. You cannot save all the people, but you can save some. But that matters. That matters. Let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Now, all these days, we were hearing about the vision, the passion, the mission, and finally the action. Certainly we need a vision. It's not a dream, it's a vision. A dream will give you sedation, but a vision will give you stimulation. When you have a vision, then that becomes your passion, and God commissions, and you go to the field and you are in action. We need to have a passion. When you have a passion, you are ready to sacrifice. You are ready to give up anything and everything in your life. Your money, your ability, your degrees. You'll be ready to give up your time, your health, because God has filled you with a passion. You are entrusted with a ministry, that is true, but it is not the burden of a commandment that leads you to work. It is an urge from within. It's an urge from within. Do we have that passion? Paul says, "Once I made a bargain that I be accursed and severed from Christ and spend my eternity in hell if you are taking all the Israelites into your kingdom." That's a passion. When you have a passion, you are ready to make a sacrifice. Do we have this kind of passion in these days? True. We cannot save all the people, but we can save some. If you are doing it, it's a stewardship. Jesus died for you. What you have done for him? Even now, that question is before us. What we have done for him? Jesus has done everything that he ought to do for us or needed to do for us. He was never obliged to do that, but he did it out of love. Jesus was not obliged to die on a cross, but we see the love of God is manifested on the cross. What is our stewardship? He has died for us. What we will do for him? Can we just say, Lord, I shall be a witness of yours. Not because it is a commandment, but because I love people. I love people. As John Knox prayed, can we pray? Yes, Lord, give me my people. Give me the students in my campus, O Lord, else I die. I'm ready for a sacrifice. Maybe sometimes I need to spend more time in the campus. Maybe many times I need to see that I'm not getting enough time to pray or study. Many times, what all things I was thinking I may not be able to do. But still, the love towards those people, the love towards those people, Lord, help me to see that I am loving the people and living for them. If you love the people, you will live for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may not be able to save all the people, but you can save some. This day, I just want to ask you, do you want to save some? Do you want to save some? If you say yes, stand up where you are. Yes, Lord. I want to save some in my campus. I want to save some in my town. I want to save some in my hostel. I want to save some in my village. Maybe I cannot, and I may not be able to save all. I cannot, but I can save some. Raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, I want to save some in my campus. With your mouth, with your own mouth, you just say it very loudly. Lord, help me to save some in my lifetime, O God.